Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Oliver Friesen, CEO of Guardian Metal Resources. Welcome back to the podcast, Oliver. How's things?
Yes, going really well. How are you guys doing?
Very good, thanks. Yeah, enjoying the weather. It's a rare occurrence in the UK, but it does finally feel like summer's on its way.
Yeah, it does. We funny enough had snow on site at Pilot Mountain about a week ago when it was 20
Wow.
degrees here, which doesn't normally happen that way. But yeah, I'm enjoying it for sure.
If it makes you feel any better, we've got a major sandstorm going on here, and it's like 31 degrees and 30
There you
mile an
go.
hour winds. So, yeah.
There you go.
Literally. Okay, well, we just saw the news that Guardian has significantly expanded the footprint of its Tempayute tungsten project in Nevada following a positive site assessment by porphyry system expert Dr. Lawrence Carter, who confirmed extensive outcropping tungsten-rich skarn mineralization associated with quartz monzonite intrusions and identified multiple untested skarn and porphyry-style mineralization zones. The company has staked 29 new Bureau of Land Management lode mining claims, doubling the project size, and uncovered several truck-ready historical ore stockpiles. Additionally, a new satellite project, the Worthington System, has been staked 34 kilometres north, hosting outcropping scheelite-bearing skarn. Samples from both projects are undergoing analysis, including RIOS age dating of molybdenite to better understand the regional geology. First of all, Oliver, there's a lot to unpack here, but let's start with this independent expert validation. You know, what's the significance of having Dr. Lawrence Carter, recognised porphyry system expert, validate the geology at Tempayute, and how does this strengthen Guardian's exploration case?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I just really, I think before we get into that, I mean, just to highlight that we've had this property, I think, for just over 2 months now. So as you guys know, and a lot of your listeners, you know, we don't waste any time at Guardian Metal Resources. You know, there's a tremendous window right now in tungsten exploration and development worldwide, but specifically in the US, and being the leader, it's our job to go. So this hopefully is further validation that we are moving quickly. We're not wasting any time. But yeah, Phil, you mentioned, you know, Dr. Carter, he's done a lot of really good work for us. You know, it's important to have really strong technical geological skill sets on the team. And it was really encouraging having him on site for over a week. You know, I'm getting photos from the field, you know, every day. You know, I'll wake up to 30, 40 photos of you know, scheelite and mineralization and skarn and porphyry. And I'm going, this is looking really good. So once he got home, tied it all together, and it was clear there was a bunch more ground we had to stake. So we moved very quickly to go do that, more than doubling the size of the property now. And the footprint has grown tremendously. Did a bit of regional stuff as well. And sure enough, you know, with systems of this size, you're going to find a lot more other mineralized zones, you know, within the district. And that's exactly what's happened. And we've also staked those. So very opportunistic. This is what we do at Guardian. We move quickly. We have good technical teams. And we, you know, we're looking to push these projects forward as quickly as we can. So really important development today.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. As you just alluded there, you know, an additional 29 claims there staked. So that more than doubles the project's footprint. But, you know, what does that tell us about the scale of the opportunity that they're potentially seeing at Tempayute?
That it's big, really, is the takeaway here. You know, we bought the data, I think it was probably 3 weeks ago now. And so the first thing we did was just pour through that, had a team pouring through that data, historical data. You know, there's mentions of gallium. We've since sampled for that and found, you know, high grade gallium. But more importantly, there was, you know, the company that owned it before and was operating in the 1980s, you know, they were making so much money from the tungsten mining that very little work was done elsewhere within the property or within the district. You know, they did bits and pieces here and there, and the reports confirm that, and you'll see, you know, references of, hey, we found a hydrothermal breccia, we found a porphyry system, we found additional skarn zones. But obviously the main focus at the time was just mining the tungsten, because it was, you know, it's high grade tungsten, and they were making a lot of money at the time. So we picked all that information up and said, hey, there's a much bigger story here, let's go out and figure out what that looks like. And we move quickly, and like you said, you know, the footprint is much bigger than the original property that we acquired, and it's, you know, it's potentially even bigger. You know, when you see the scale of the mineralization, when you actually map these things out and you're seeing, you know, multi kilometer strike length of mineralization, you know, you're dealing with a big system, which is really what you want here. You want to be dealing with big systems because you can find a lot of material there.
Yeah, and we heard the word, bandied around this polymetallic, but and we're not just seeing tungsten here. There's signs of molybdenum and copper in this porphyry-style veining. How important is and what sort of focus will you put on this multi-commodity angle for Guardian's future strategy?
Yeah, I mean, we look at everything. What's really interesting with this property, Phil, is the fact that the more and more work we do on it, the more it resembles Pilot Mountain in terms of the mineralogy and the alteration. And that makes complete sense because these properties are only about 200 miles apart. So it's not like we're looking at one property in South Korea and one in Spain, which typically would be completely different just based on geological setting. We're in the same geological setting. These geological belts, the Walker Lane mineral belt extends from Reno down to Las Vegas. And these properties are quite close to each other. And the age dating that you mentioned, Phil, will help. And what we think will probably place the causative intrusion at the exact same time as Pilot's causative intrusion. So the benefit is, as we're pushing Pilot forward through the engineering and metallurgical phases, a lot of that work we think will be quite directly applicable to Tempa-Ute. But you mentioned the polymetallic. That's a really important part of the puzzle here. The focal point is tungsten. There's no doubt about it. That's a metal that the US desperately needs a domestic source of, and we are in a position to deliver that. But when you mine these systems, you pull the rock out. And it's very cheap to put in a circuit to recover whatever else is there. So, we do multi-element analysis. We know we have copper, silver, and zinc that are recoverable and saleable at Pilot Mountain. We also are doing the garnet work, and that's looking really promising. We now have the gallium as a potential additional byproduct. And what we're seeing at Tempa-Ute is pretty much the exact same thing. You go walk some of these stockpiles, there's massive blocks of chalcopyrite, of copper. The molybdenum is some of the coarsest and highest grade stuff I've ever seen in my career. And like I said, once you're mining the rock and crushing it, you just add another circuit and you can pull out all those other bits and pieces and they just contribute to the economics. What's interesting though is if you look at some of the historic reports from the 1980s, they were making so much money on the tungsten, they actually didn't recover any of the other metals. They did a bit of zinc at certain periods, but all the other metals, they just said, to hell with it. The money's so good with tungsten, but it's so easy now to put in circuits for all this stuff. So we look at everything. Tungsten is the focus, but getting some of the samples and photos in that RNS field, just big globs of molybdenite. That's really exciting stuff as well because the price of moly has done incredibly well. And like I said,
Yes.
once you crush the rock, you might as well pull out everything you can.
Yeah, let's just quickly focus on those truck-ready ore stockpiles you alluded then. I mean, you identified several historic ore stockpiles and some potentially with minimal processing required, presumably. But how much of a game changer could these be in terms of, a bit, being able to fast track these early revenues?
Yeah, no, it's something that we're looking at really closely. Knowing a lot about the tungsten market, specifically in the US, there is effectively no tungsten for purchase in the US. The market is so incredibly tight and should come as no surprise. There's no domestic mine production. China has cut off exports, and the DoD for their restocking programs and their increased defense spending is consuming a lot of tungsten that exists in the system. So the US needs a domestic mine source like now. I mean, really yesterday. So those stockpiles take on a whole new meaning because as far as we know, they're the only sort of stockpiled tungsten-rich material that exists in the US in size. So it's really our job as a company that's focused on tungsten to look at those and say, hey, the US needs a they need new primary material. And here is one sitting at surface that we own. And we also have a lot of existing infrastructure in place. So the key thing is we need to do the sampling, which is what we've done now. So we're waiting on those assays. We've done the first due diligence program that we did and released those results. That was back in probably October, November. There was some high grade stuff in those stockpiles, and that sampling was done by myself, but that was just sort of grab a few samples here and there. We've done sort of a systematic sampling now of those stockpiles. So it's very, very strategic and really, fueled by the fact that the US needs domestic mined tungsten. And based on our kind of back of the napkin calculations, there's a pretty material amount of tungsten within those stockpiles. So we're doing the sampling now. That will really confirm how much is there. Obviously, a lot more work to do here on those stockpiles, but it's definitely another thing that we're looking at really closely and is quite exciting about this project.
Yeah, Oliver, more exciting advancements. Just in terms of what's happening at Tempe and the land that you're staking, does that come under the same legislation as the land that you already have in Tempayut, as in it's land that's owned by yourself that you can move on and do stuff with it much more quickly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So the land that we staked is its load claim, so it is BLM ground versus the patented claims of the original property that we acquired. The thing that we're seeing though is BLM ground is what Pilot Mountain is on. And what's been really encouraging to see since some of these executive orders have come through the system, in particular the Unleashing American Energy, the BLM is really looking to speed things up. There is a direct mandate from the White House, and the BLM is absolutely listening. So we think that there's a huge advantage to having BLM ground as well because of, the mandates from the White House directly affect all of the federal BLM lands. So obviously the main system is within the patent claims, which, as we've discussed before, has huge permitting advantages. But even the BLM ground now that we have the new claims on and this eastern extension of the system, those claims are really valuable right now because they're the ones that are being pushed on by the federal government and directly by the White House. So we're seeing a lot of interesting developments on the permitting side, and I'm sure the market will start to see sort of the fruits of the labor of the White House and what that all means. But I can just tell you right now that things are moving at a rapid pace compared to how they were under the previous administration.
So, what bit of this announcement that's just come out regarding Tempe and its extension are you most excited about?
Yeah, good question. I mean, I think we love the porphyry stuff. At Pilot Mountain, that's a whole new system that we've kind of developed organically, and there's a huge potential there with a few further drill holes. So the fact now that we've staked what looks to be and actually what is confidently the causative porphyry gives us a whole new sort of element to this project. But I think probably the thing that has me most excited and just getting the photos from Lawrence in the field, a lot of which were in the RNS that we released today, is the whole eastern extension zone. So we have two stalks or intrusions, as we call them, and the skarn rims the intrusion. So the current claims were on the western edge of this intrusion. So we thought, well, very likely the skarn should extend around the eastern side. And sure enough, he walked the whole contact and pretty much the whole way along, he's finding and chipping off high grades tungsten material. So I would say the extension and the ownership of a much larger footprint for the tungsten skarn, because once again, tungsten, the pricing is going up now. It's such a critical metal. We're in such a unique position. And we think, we have absolutely tremendous opportunity to really solidify ourselves in the tungsten space here. So to have that bigger footprint on the skarn side is probably the most exciting part for me. But, there's arguably four or five other bits and pieces in that RNS that could be equally as exciting.
Yeah, I mean, Phil already touched on it, but how much material is available on surface in terms of tungsten to be able to, effectively put a processing plant down there and start chucking the stuff in?
Yeah, so I mean we have our rough calculations. I won't say anything now to avoid getting in trouble. But the
Is that
assays
me
are
asking a question that's going to get you in trouble again? I
a
apologize.
bit No,
Sorry.
the big question now is what the average grade is going to be across these. Like I said, we've done some sampling. That was a bit more scattered. There was some really high grade stuff up to about 1.5% WO3. But this is more systematic now. We've also found an additional stockpile towards the east, which we've staked. So we're putting this story together. Like I said, I'll refrain from mentioning any actual numbers. We have a number on the back of the napkin right now, and what I can say is that, given how much tungsten the US consumes per annum, this is still contingent on the final results, but it is a material amount of tungsten that exists in those stockpiles at Tempayut, without a doubt.
So is it fair to say that actually this is now sort of rivaling Pilot Mountain in terms of the size of quantity of tungsten available possibly?
Yeah, I mean it's hard to say. I mean we've come out very early and co-branded these as co-flagships. Which property is better? I mean, I think it's funny, I speak to investors and every investor has their own favorite. It might change as we put out more information and data on Tempayut. Just I think because of those stockpiles and the infrastructure, a lot of investors really appreciate that. Which one is better, which one is bigger? It's still too early to say.
Yeah, it
What I can
feels like
say
you have two children, Oliver, and you don't
is
want to decide between them.
No, honestly, I mean, even myself, like I sometimes, kind of behind the scenes, try to figure out which one I like more. And I just, there's different things about each of them that I really, really like. So They're very much co-flagships. They're both kind of my babies right now, our babies, I guess you should say. And they both are just the clear thing here is that they are big, robust mineralizing systems. And I think really we're just scratching the surface on both of them still.
Okay, so just as a last question, if potential investors or existing investors now are going to be looking at the next 3 months, what's going to be happening in Guardian?
I mean, full steam ahead on both projects. So what we're really eager to receive now is the assay results from the stockpiles at Tempayu, but also the tailings as well. We've sampled all of that. We're getting our drill database all put together now with the data that we've purchased. So really, we're looking forward to getting those results from Tempayu because that will really gauge kind of how we progress different, kind of work streams there at Tempayu. And then at Pilot Mountain, geotech drilling is almost done now. The resource drilling at Desert is completed, so we're waiting on those final results. We're going to be moving the rig up to the mountains to gunmetal and garnet. There's a ton of material there that really hasn't been looked at. So full steam ahead on the operation side. So lots of news and assays and things coming from both of those. And then really on the government angle, I would just keep a really close eye on everything going on with the government because we're seeing now some incredible things happening behind the scenes. And really, I think, these executive orders that were put in place early in the new administration's presidency, they're starting to really make their way through the system now. And as you can probably guess, being the leader in US tungsten exploration development, a critical defense metal of which the US produces zero of right now, you can imagine a lot of these EOs are mandated and directed towards us. And the administration and the various kind of organizations and parties and groups that are involved in these industries in defense, metals and critical metals and rare earth metals. It is clear that the mandate is really filtering through the system. So there's some really exciting stuff going on, and I would definitely keep an eye open for any kind of, tailwinds coming from the government here to help, companies like Guardian to really push forward to production as quickly as we can.
There's one
Have you
thing for
seen a
sure,
sea change?
he's not shy of, he's not shy about doing the signing any executive orders, is he, regarding these minerals, etc. So very
No,
good.
I mean it's. I mean, just look at the macro, Phil. I mean, tariffs on most other countries, no domestic production. China's cutting off exports. I mean, a perfect storm for Guardian Metal Resources. I cannot emphasize that enough. So we are in a fantastic position. We're almost through this warrant period right now. We're just in the very tail end of that. I am absolutely excited about the next few months here and into to 2020, 2026 and beyond. So really exciting times.
So, have you seen a sea change in communication with the different departments and the different things, since President Trump came in?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, enough, sir.
Okay. Okay, well, there's certainly a lot happening both, in the specifics and on the ground. We'll continue to keep a close eye on how the story develops. Big thanks to our listeners for joining us. And obviously, we look forward to welcoming you back on, Oliver Friesen, CEO of Guardian Metal Resources. Thanks very much for appearing on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you guys. Appreciate it.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.